God, our Father, thou hast brought us into thy presence around thy word in order that some purpose of thine for us may be fulfilled. And we do ask that as we turn and look upon the written word, so familiar, so well known, that thy gracious Spirit may take it and make it a living word. We do ask that some of the dilemmas of the soul in which some of us here find ourselves this morning may be straightened out, and that we may see clearly in front of us the pathway that we are to tread, the pathway that will bring us out into the fullness of thy purpose for our lives. And this we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. The passage of Scripture that I want us to consider, and I'd be grateful if you'd have your Bibles open, is the passage beginning where our lesson began and carrying right through to the end of the 13th chapter. I've given a title to our study this morning. I've called it A Man of God in a Muddle. A man of God in a muddle. Of course, that's the title for the whole section, not just the passage we read. I believe that it's true again and again in spiritual experience that Christians can find that they've reached a situation when they're in a complete tangle, and every conceivable aspect of their spiritual life seems to be twisted and tied up, and they just don't know how they're going to get it straightened out. I wonder if there are some such here this morning. Quite frankly, if you were honest, you'd have to admit that spiritually you're just in a tangle, and you don't know how you're going to break free. A man of God in a muddle. Let's trace this experience, and as we trace the experience of Abraham, maybe we'll find that step by step we're tracing yours. So keep your Bible open, and let's let the Word do its own work. We begin with the story of his commission. The opening verses, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. You and I, as Christians, reach the place where we discovered, surely, that our lives as Christians were not simply lives that were identified with the life of God in Christ, but lives that were now to be related to the will of God in our daily experience. Therefore, there must have come a time in your life, surely in mine, when, like Abram, there came this sense of commission, this realization that God had a will for our lives and we were committed to it. I want to note, first of all, that the range of God's purpose was immense. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When God painted his will for Abraham, he used a wide canvas. And when God paints his purpose for your life and mine as Christians, he uses a wide canvas. Ask what ye will. Tell me, is that not wise? From within, out of his inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. Is that not wise? I think one of the things we need to recapture is that whether we be prominent, whether we be gifted, whether we be educated, whether we be privileged, materially and socially, is irrelevant as far as God is concerned. The purpose and the range of God's blessing through an individual life is immense. The impact of the fact that you're a Christian can be felt all over the world. The range was immense. The requirements were clear. In the case of Abram, specialize rather, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The main thing about this, as far as we are concerned, is that Abraham heard exactly what God required and understood it. I'm quite prepared to believe that there are times when the will of God is not plain. There are times when we're moving in the mist. But I believe there are times when basically the will of God is crystally clear, that our relationship to him is one of obedience. I don't think our great spiritual problems center around our uncertainties. They can exist, but they don't constitute our problem or God. Usually the focus of difficulty centers around something that we understand perfectly clearly. So while the range was immense and the requirements were clear, it's worth noting that the response was real. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And in your life and mine, tell me this, there has been a response, has there not? You and I are not in the group of people that don't care. We're not amongst the company of those who aren't interested in the will of God or the work of God or the redemption of God or the glory of God. We have responded. And you and I can look back down our lives to see the measure of that response. Its timing, its circumstance, and all that played its part. So the response was real. That's the story of his commission. And I would suggest it's the story of yours. And then we move into the second chapter of his experience. I've called it the scene of confusion. And it may be that here we're going to get a little bit closer to the heart of God's word. Three things entered into the confusion in which Abram very soon found himself, and found himself, I would suggest, most unexpectedly and surprisingly. It seemed so simple what God had said, it seemed so clear, and Abram's heart had gone out in response, and he had given himself in obedience. And yet, in a very short time, everything is confused. And we find this man of God in a muddle. We find that everything now is getting tangled up. The scene of his confusion. Three things entered into this. The first is that the scene was one that was spiritually disappointing to him. It was a time in Abram's experience, I would submit, when fellowship with God seemed clouded. I wonder whether we're reading into the passage something that isn't there. I don't think we are. When we discover that at the time and moment of his commission to the will of God, God had a great deal to say to him. In verse 7, when Abram has come into the land of Canaan, God doesn't have quite so much, very little more than a recognition that he's come. Unto thy seed will I give this land. That's all. And the next time Abram builds an altar, in verse 8, God has nothing whatever to say. I wonder if I'm speaking to a Christian and your fellowship with God has been becoming increasingly clouded. And that is part of the confusion that you find yourself in. You may be a missionary. You may be a church worker. You may be a Christian with a record of obedience and sacrifice to the will of God. But I want to ask you this. Is your fellowship with God on the decline? Are you finding that your Bible is meaning less and less to you? Are you finding that prayer is having a smaller and smaller part in the structure of your Christian living from day to day? Quite frankly, your testimony as a Christian is one of spiritual disappointment. Things just aren't working out. And the whole machinery of your Christian life is getting into a bad state. Spiritually disappointed. I wonder whether this is true in this scene of confusion, that for Abram, life was not only spiritually disappointing, but materially difficult. We read there was a famine in the land. And Abram found himself on the material level in difficulty. Now, I don't suggest for one moment that this is necessarily the case, that because some of us are finding things difficult financially, that therefore there's something wrong. All I'm saying is this, that there is a promise in the Word of God which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I wonder whether God is speaking to some man or woman here through your financial situation today. And you are finding that things materially are extremely difficult. I wonder whether God is trying to break through to you on the material level because he can't reach you any other way. All I know is that when Abram came into the place and into the land of God's purpose, he found himself involved in material difficulty. There was a famine in the land. The third thing that enters into this scene of confusion is not only was life for him spiritually disappointing, not only was it materially difficult, but it was becoming morally dangerous. We find Abram living a lie. He went down into Egypt, which was one of his own attempts to try and resolve the tangle. And instead of resolving it, he made it worse. We find him living a lie. Living a life of dishonesty and deceit, which became a life of danger to his own wife. Is there a Christian here, and so great is the confusion into which your life has come that you're living a lie? Oh, not the same lie. But you're living a life as a Christian that is absolutely dishonest. It isn't true. There's a facade of pretense. And behind that and beneath that, there's a hollow sham. You're a minister, and therefore a man of prayer. But you're not a man of prayer. You're a missionary, and therefore a student of the Word. But you never read your Bible. You're a keen Christian, and therefore aspiring after God's best. And living a lie. Because you're not interested in God's best. You're enjoying your own particular sin. a life that was morally dangerous. The scene of his confusion. Can you imagine any greater confusion than that? Materially difficult. Spiritually disappointing. Morally dangerous. Here the man of God, tangled up in a muddle of circumstance and not knowing the way. And yet, right in the center of that scene of confusion, he can remember the story of his commission. Abram, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Commission and confusion. Is the situation in which you are now, is it bearing any relationship at all to the vision that you had of God's will? Has it got any relationship? The story of his commission, the scene of his confusion, and then the steps of his correction. Thank God Abram got out of his muddle. Thank God he can disentangle the tangled skeins of circumstance in which we can become involved. I have a son who's a very keen fisherman. Those of you who've learnt the art of fishing will realize that to begin with, it's not as simple as it looks. Again and again, I've had him bring to me a long stretch of line of nylon carp, all tangled up. He wants the tangles straightened out. When I look at the tangle, I don't say, oh, that's hopeless, and throw it away. I get to work as his father. And patiently and slowly and steadily, we get the tangled skeins loose. I would submit that your Heavenly Father is far more concerned about getting the tangled skeins of your life released than ever I am concerning a fishing line. What were the steps, then, of his correction? Well, first of all, there was action that Abram took. Here was a man who, in seeking to do the will of God, had lost his way. And so, looking back over the confusion, Abram thought of the last time when he knew that things were well. He looked beyond the confusion and beyond the tangle to one long strand of clear thread and said, I'll begin there. So we read this lovely verse in the 13th chapter. Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Abram very rich now in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. If you're going to begin to unravel a tangle, you want to get a bit of a hole of at least a couple of inches of clear thread. I wonder if there's some Christian here, and looking back over the past month Or is it a greater tragedy than that? Over the past year, you can see nothing but confusion. Tell me, where can you see a bit of clear thread that's not tangled? Where can we begin? Can you look back in mind and heart and thought beyond the confusion to that time in your spiritual experience when all was well? Can you look back there? Can you get back there to the beginning where you erected your altar at the first? In one jump, clear the confusion and get back onto the clear strand of spiritual thread and light. The action he took. So the first thing that Abram did was to get back to where the way was clear. Before the confusion, before the tangle. The action he took and the altar he built. He went back to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I think the terribly important thing is that when we're in confusion, we want to get out of it. I wonder whether you do. Abram called on the name of the Lord, and somehow or other, you know, I think it was a very humbled Abram. A very desperate man. I think Abram prayed there such as he hadn't prayed, in such a way as he hadn't prayed for years. And he called on the name of the Lord. When did you last as a Christian really pray? Oh, not when did you preach on prayer, not when did you believe in prayer, not when did you know the promises of prayer, but when did you last as a Christian really pray? Say, but Mr. Duncan, a Christian prays every day. I wonder. I don't know anything easier in the Christian life than to hide behind an outward activity in Christian work. When did you last really pray? And if you're in confusion, and if you're in a muddle, I want to ask you this. Do you want to come out of it? Do you? Are you prepared to call in the name of the Lord? Because I'll tell you this. If you and I really mean business with God and you really call in the name of the Lord, He'll answer your prayer immediately. Well, He did for Abram. The action he took, the altar he built, and the answer he got. When did he get it? Next verse, second word. What's the word? Lot. Abram. What was it that I told you? Out of your country? Yes, Lord, I've done that. From your father's house? That took me a long time, Lord, but I did that. And from thy kindred? Oh. I see now. Lot. One of the extraordinary facts of spiritual experience is this, that again and again, spiritual confusion can be traced to one fact in the human life. One fact. Only one. I wonder, are we as you're listening to me now, you're not listening to me at all. And your mind is circling round your lock. One realm of disobedience. One reservation held. One thing unyielded. The action he took, the altar he built, and the answer he got. Got it right away. You want to begin to find the way through the tangle and find the thread loosening up. You've only got one thing to do, and that is to ask God to call upon the name of the Lord, and immediately you'll see the way. I think this is the heart of the problem that God has with the Christian church today. You see, the story of the Christian church is not one of indifference to the will of God. We're not indifferent. We do all sorts of things in response. We take all sorts of steps. We're prepared to do all sorts of things, prepared to make all sorts of sacrifices. We'll go a terribly long way. But in all our obedience, in all our response, we've got a limit that we keep to ourselves. And we say, yes, I'll do all these things except this. And this I'm holding to myself. And Lot went with him. Again and again, you read back the earlier verses, you see that it's the same old story. Lot went with him. The story of his commission, the scene of his confusion, the steps of his correction, and then what I venture to call the splendor of his completion. You see, the commission had been given, but it hadn't been fulfilled. The terms had been laid down, but they hadn't been completed. And the whole stream of God's purpose for this man of God had been arrested. It was held up. And what happened? Well, first of all, an opportunity was granted. And Lot, so we read, and Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Ah. Lot is the point of trouble, and then God, in a wonderful way, creates an opportunity for Abram to deal with this very thing. There's a quarrel between his herdmen and Lot. We read in verse 7, there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. The opportunity was granted. God did two things. He not only made Abram conscious of the root of the problem, but God created the circumstances which enabled Abram to deal with it. A quarrel broke out between his herdmen and Lot's herdmen, and the answer was obvious. We part company. I think God is extraordinarily kind, gracious. You see, this had been going on for a long time. Lot with him. Lot with him. God, in his mercy, permits a series of events to take place and a set of circumstances to come into being that make it the easiest thing in the world for Abram to obey God. God made it possible for you to come to Kedesh. Is that part of God's goodness to you? You didn't know quite why you should come. Maybe you weren't very keen to come. Maybe you haven't been particularly interested since you've been here. And you didn't particularly want to come to this meeting, but somehow or other you've come. You know why? Because God wanted you here. God planned your way to Keswick, all the way from that distant mission station to Keswick, because he wanted you here. God brought you from that hospital here, from that church here. Do you know why? Because he wanted to give you a chance to do something you should have done long ago, and you haven't done it. That's it. And I'm going to tell you this. God now is making it as easy as he can for you to do his will. As easy as he can. The opportunity was granted. Not enough to have an opportunity, is it? As we read wonderfully, the obedience was given. Does God ever hold his breath? If ever God holds his breath, he held it then. Here was Abram standing, the man who'd invoked God's help, standing in circumstances that constituted the answer to his cry for mercy and for deliverance, standing right in the midst, facing a situation when he knew unmistakably what God was waiting for him to do, finding himself in a situation that God's will seemed the only thing that he could do, that he must do. And still the issue wasn't resolved. And God listens as Abram speaks to Lot. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee, and God still hasn't heard the word for which he waits? We can say a lot, you know, without coming to the point. And then, at last, the word for which God had waited so long. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Are there words, my dear Christian, that you should say to God that you haven't said? You've got a good record behind you. That record was built up a long time ago. And if the past months or years were analyzed, there wouldn't be very much to say. A great deal of activity, but so little achievement. Great deal of human effort and wisdom, but so little of divine grace. God has answered your prayer. God has created the circumstance. And now he's waiting. Is there something in your life that's got to go? Some compromise, some friendship, that's been your problem. That's the way through the tangle.
God waited. Holding that thing that God has held now before you, holding it there for just a minute, are you prepared to say to that thing, maybe that person, separate thyself, I pray you, from me. God waits. Not for you to listen to me. Not for you to think, well, I like that sermon. God's waiting for you to say something about the thing that has been wrecking your Christian life. Abram said it. Then we get not only the opportunity granted, not only the obedience given, but the outcome glorious. It would seem almost as if God's purpose for Abraham, for him and through him, had been like a stream that for so long had been dammed up. And with the obedience given, as if that dam at last broke, and a river in spate flooded through. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed of the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. Tangled chain straight again. Man of God in a muddle. You in a muddle? My friend, the purpose of God hasn't changed for me, and it hasn't changed for you. The story of his commission, the same as yours and mine. The scene of his confusion, same as yours and mine. The steps of his correction, here's the same as yours. The splendor of his completion. What was that? It was simply this, that the streams of blessing began to flow again. Oh, child of God, has the Father got his hand on the tangled chain? Is it beginning to loosen? Can you already feel a sense of freedom and liberty in your heart as the knots come loose and the tenseness and the tightness is going out of your spirit? The Father had his hand on you this morning. He brought you here. You're going out of this tent. And the tangle is going to straighten right away. Blessing is going to flow. Because you have said in this text words that God has been waiting for.
Would you say those words to him deliberately, consciously, purposefully, and say them now? Let us pray. My dear Christian, God has created this opportunity for you, just as he created for Abram long ago. The opportunity is a different one. We haven't got quarreling herdsmen. Instead, we've got a quiet gathering of praying people. I want to say again that God is making it as easy as he can for you to do his will. That realm of your life that you've withheld from him, which has brought your life into confusion and muddle and tangle, God's wanting you to say concerning that, separate thyself from me. Are you prepared to drop it and hand over that realm of disobedience? Him. Will you do it now? Maybe writing a letter. You'll write that letter and post it today. Have you said the word? God our Father, some of us have had such a clear vision. Thy call and commission to ourselves. We couldn't believe the immensity of the range of thy purpose to the ends of the earth. We responded. But for so long we've been in confusion and muddle, tangle and tension. And everything seems to have gone wrong. And in our hearts and minds, we try to get back to that place in our spiritual experience where the thread was untangled and the skein running clear. We've offered our prayer and called upon the name of the Lord. And immediately thou hast shown us just why things have been. Thou hast given us in thy mercy this wonderful opportunity of putting things straight. We've said the words. We thank thee that now, once again, we find ourselves in the free-flowing stream of thy grace. And that all the freshness will come back. All the sense of expectancy and anticipation as we walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, there'll be such a lot that we can do now, so much ground to cover. And we're going to rise up from this tent and we're going to walk through the land in liberty and freedom, enjoying a blessed communion with thyself once again. We do thank thee for bringing us to this hour and to this place. Pardon our sins. Forgive our slowness to understand. Forgive us the stubbornness of our rebellion. And now lead us on into the fullness of thy purpose. When we get back to our church, back to our home, back to the hospital ward, back to the mission station. May others know that once again the streams of living water are flowing out. And may thy name be glorified. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is all sufficient, the love of God the Father, which never changes, the abiding presence and help of the Holy Spirit